Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills, and today's guest is the one and only Ben Roberts of the band Blood Ritual. Ben is also a comic book writer as well as owns his own comic shop, which we talk about during the episode. But before we dive into all that, I just want to remind you guys that on April 17th, I'll be at Keegan's Irish Pub for Horror Movie Trivia Night once again. I'll be co-hosting with Steven of Toxic Coffin, as well as there will be a horror-themed drink menu. So if you're in the area, come on out. It'll be a ton of fun. Also, make sure you go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so the free way by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you would like to sign up for the Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. You'll get some stickers in the mail, a shout out on a future episode, and a couple other perks as well. So with all that being said, thanks again for listening, and let's get into this week's episode. And pretty much we can dive right in then. So before jumping into the horror stuff, of course, I do like to, you know, give you time to promote, you know, the music and everything else you got in the works as well. I know you got Do You Believe coming out with Blood Ritual, but you also, you know, write some comics as well as on your own comic shop. If you want to shout that stuff out as well after the, you know, talking about the record for a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I am a comic book writer. I've written a number of things. My first series was a book called Children of the Grave. It came out through Scout Comics through 2020 to 2021. They have not published like the collected edition. I think copies are still available through the Scout Comics website. I did a book last year with Sumerian Comics, which are owned by Sumerian Records, but it was called Rock and Roll Hell. It's about a death metal band playing the biggest show of their life. And Jesus returns to Earth. So they have to summon the forces of like hell and Satan to fight back. And it's just like a real silly one shot, a lot of metal tropes and silliness in there. And then through them, I also got to work. They're doing a lot of music license stuff. Did a book for the Dillinger Escape Plan called One of Us the Killer, kind of, creating a story based off of elements of that album, and it's online through Sumerian, able to be bought, with a Poison the Well book coming out later this year that I worked with the singer of Poison the Well on. So,
oh yeah,
a lot of weird licensed stuff like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll definitely be looking into those as well. And of course, you know, I'll be sharing it around. I'll share the link in the description, you know, for people to pick that up if they want to, you know, pick it up and check it out. Of course, if it's not sold out, it might be sold out by then, you know, because I know Dillinger's got, you know, quite a big fan base, like a and they got like a, like their fan base is like, they love them, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. So that's not my band. I don't like a lot of that sort of like era of like hardcore adjacent stuff is not my thing. But, you know, we were able to create like a good story that fans of the band would like no matter what.
Oh, yeah. No, same here. Dillinger's a band I have respect for, but I don't really listen to them. Like, they have a crazy live show for sure. I've seen them live just because like they played Warped Tour back in the day a couple times and shit. So, but you know, hell yeah. We can, what about Blood Ritual? Do you want to, you know, shout out the new record coming out? I think it comes out in like 8 days, but of course, by the time this comes out, it'd already be out. So,
yeah, it came out. Well, then it came out February 29th. It's called Do You Believe? Blood Ritual's been active since, feels like we've been a band forever. And it's just kind of been like, wavering steam, and we've been working on this for quite some time and finally seeing the light of day. It was recorded by Jeremy White, who some people might know, A Knife in the Dark. He was in that band Dwell. He records a lot of music, a lot of North Carolina bands. And then it was mastered by Arthur Rizik. So we're stoked on how it's coming out.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely stoked to hear the rest of the songs. Of course, I enjoyed the two that you guys put out. And one thing I enjoy about it is just the artwork in general is fucking insane. It looks epic. Like the tapes and the CDs and stuff you guys are putting out look fucking sick.
So. Yeah, we wanted to do something other than like, because like we've made that full move into like metal band, not like just hardcore band.
Yeah.
But we wanted to do something different than like, you know, dark warrior dragon corpse, gloomy, like metal stuff. So I was like, it's got to be brightly colored. It's got to be like super comic booky.
Oh yeah, no, I really enjoy it. That shit's epic. And like I said, I'm stoked to hear the rest of the album for sure. Like I said, it'll be out by the time this comes out. So if you guys still have any of that stuff available, I'll put the link in the description for that as well. For like any records
sure.
or anything you guys have for sale, even if it's just some merch, you know what I mean. So, but hell yeah. And then you guys are about to go on a little run. I'll see you guys at in Norfolk on Saturday, next Saturday. So, or this upcoming Saturday, I guess now. But
yeah, I'm stoked. Private Hell, former guest of your show, Mikey Kent. He's one of my best friends.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just very excited to be able to play with them.
Oh yeah, no, I'm excited to see Mikey again too, because I've only hung out with him like ran into him one time, and it was like real quick, and I can't remember where that was. It was either a convention or just a really big show. And then I saw him, hung out with him for a little bit at the Enforce show when they played up in Richmond, like right after the pandemic. But no, so I'm stoked to hang out with both you dudes for sure.
It'll be a good time.
Oh yeah, definitely. But we could dive into the horror movie stuff. Pretty much my first question with that is typically for all my guests is, what was your relationship with horror movies growing up? And did it change at all as you got older and became an adult?
It absolutely did. I was like a very scared kid. And I love my parents to death, but my mom like grew up on a small farm in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So she has like some very traditional values. And horror movies were just like not a thing. And I remember two things when I was young. I think Disney had re-released The Black Cauldron on VHS and we rented it, and it scared the shit out of me. I mean,
Yeah.
I was so young. I was like, this is, I couldn't imagine anything scarier than that. And then I got some weird comic that did the Headless Horseman story. And just reading it like freaked me out so bad when I was very young that I didn't sleep for like months. It became like an issue. And I think the first time I ever saw it's kind of silly, but I think the first like straight up horror adjacent movie that I remember seeing in theaters was a friend's dad taking us to see Aliens versus Predator.
Okay.
And that movie is what it is.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, that was my first exposure. And then I loved it. I like lost my mind. And like, once you pass through that bridge that like this thing is not real and cannot hurt you,
yeah,
that's where you start to understand it. And then horror movies become something comfortable. And, you know, growing up, there was always like, you know, you do the thing where you hear about like Faces of Death, or and you're in high school and people are like sharing movies, finding, you know, luckily we were like LimeWire generation. So there was a lot of stuff ripped off the internet that you watch, you surround everyone on like a sleepover at like a computer screen.
Yeah.
And so, but it wasn't really until I got to college that I think I became like a little bit more obsessive and trying to go back and work my way through some sort of horror history. I'd gone to film school, and it just like, you know, trying to do film school, that's not they're not going to teach you how to make horror movies. And that's what I wanted to do,
yeah,
or just make like B movies, and kind of getting obsessed with like 80s, like that decade of horror, and seeing like classics I had never seen when I was younger, like Evil Dead or any of the Nightmare movies. And I just like tried to watch as much as I could. I think the biggest turning point that turned me on to like the color palette and type of, it's still horror adjacent, but type of movie that I really love, is it was my sophomore year of high school. And after exams, I had a teacher that, you know, you're done with exams, and so you're just watching movies at the end of the year. And she popped a movie in, and it was Monster Squad.
Oh, yeah.
And she had to be in the know at some point, because now I know that in 2008, 2009, that movie was not readily available and no one knew about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like Alamo started doing the screenings that you got this second burst of Monster Squad fandom. And so she puts it in, and like kids are throwing stuff, and like it's just high school kids being ridiculous. And I was like, what is this dumb movie we're going to watch? And from opening scene, I was hooked. I was like looking around the room, like, are you guys experiencing this the same way that I am? Like this is like an actual life-changing moment for me.
Yeah.
And so that sort of like, I don't know how to say it, but there's like a color palette almost that you get in that, you know, those late 80s movies. That is always the thing that I'm looking for. And, you know, I think I found it in trying to go back and watch like some Italian stuff. Like I think Demons, while way more aggressive, still has that like, it's so much fun. It's just like a super fun, super crazy movie. And you're like, oh yeah, this is fucking tight.
No, I agree 100%. That's what I say all the time is when I'm talking to people about horror movies and stuff, and I talk about like Reanimator being one of my favorites. I'm like, it's just the epitome of 80s horror because to me, like 80s horror is that exact thing. Like Evil Dead 2, another one where it's just like, it's super fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even, you know, like half of those movies, you could watch them and say they're technically not scary because when do you. You know, like especially now that like you and me, you know, at an older age are over the scary part because you know I grew up scared of shit of horror movies as well. It was my mom being scared of them that really made me scared. But then as I got a little older and hung out with my dad more, and he was like, "No, we can get through them," and kind of like helped me like you know make that switch too. But no, I agree 100%. Those 80s movies, it's like there's something about them that you don't get nowadays too much. But when you do, it's like super fun. Like that's why, like, even though it's not a perfect film, and I hate that it's covered in CGI, but that recent film Malignant, just the fact that a wild ass idea like that got put out is like something that like you would only see happen in the 80s or something like that. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, it really is. I think that movie, I watched it with someone who they were not a fan of it. And I was like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know. Like, once I got the thing that was happening, I was like, oh, okay, all right. And it is. But I think had that movie all been like practical effects, I would have been like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. So,
No, I agree. The practical, I mean, the CGI blood is what really takes me out of it. Is like, because they did a lot of the practical stuff for the character of Gabriel, I think his name is. And like, that all looks great. But then when he's like starting to actually chop people to shit and like the blood that squirts out looks freaking fake as shit, I'm like, it starts to take you out of it a little bit. But I agree. It's like one of those movies that I agree. It's like, I'd probably give it like a 6 or 7. But if it had all practical effects, I'd probably shoot that bitch up to like an 8.5 or something. But hell yeah. But we spoke about, you know, a ton of films. Do you have any that sit at, you know, the top spot as his favorite of all time? Or, you know, maybe just a few that sit up there that you want to shout out?
I have become completely, I think because of that story I just told, The Monster Squad is my favorite movie of all time.
Fuck yeah.
I have a pitch for Monster Squad 2 that has been in various works for years, that it has to be a comic book, but it's done. It's good to go. I just got to find the right person to talk to. Up there, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 is one of my favorite films for many of the same reasons. The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre is still scary. It still has, I'm stealing a book, something that Mikey said before. It feels like something you're not supposed to be watching, and it does have that like, these are true events, but it's like, yeah, I believe it. I'm buying it. And because everything is left to your imagination, it's scary. I mean, it is scary, it's dirty, it's gritty, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 is just like pure rock and roll fun. It's so much fun. Just from how amped up like Bill Moseley is and just the neon, it's so much fun. I love it so much. Well, I would say Reanimator or From Beyond is another favorite. Like you said, it's just like how 80s horror is supposed to feel. Demons is another one of those. And there's probably so many things I'm forgetting, and there's so many things I haven't seen. I love every once in a while watching the In Search of Darkness documentaries, and I'll make a little list. It was that's how I found out about Near Dark, was that documentary. I'd never even heard of the movie, and I won't say all of Near Dark is good. The last third of the movie is pretty dumb, but up until that point, I think you can make an argument that Bill Paxton is the coolest cinematic vampire. And I hate saying that because I have like Lost Boys posters in my room, but he's just so cool.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. As much as I love David from the Lost Boys, I don't know if he's quite as cool as Bill Paxton and fucking chopping somebody's neck with a spur and then just drinking it out of a pint, pretty much.
No.
No, that shit's fucking badass. And there's a lot of cool zombies, even in like, I mean, not zombies, not vampires, and From Dusk Till Dawn too. You know what I mean? fucking
love
Danny
for
Trejo
Basketball Talk.
and Cheech Marin and shit. But hell yeah. No, I agree. Near Dark's Lost Boys is like my favorite because it still has that nostalgic pull. Because I've been watching that one even since I was little. I watched it. I just turned my head when they started eating all the punks around the campfire because that was the only scene that scared me. But as soon as they bit into that dude's head, I was like, "Oh fuck! What are you showing me?" But so I watched that movie even when I was younger and still scared because I got kind of past everything else in the movie except for that part. But Near Dark, once I saw it at a later age too, probably like within the last decade for the first, you know, maybe 5 years, honestly, for the first time. And it did the same thing. It was like, damn, I got so much respect for this movie. But the end starts to lull off, where The Lost Boys is the opposite. The climax of that is fucking epic, where it's, you know, the whole house fight. Yeah, I love that shit. Death by Stereo. Like, I still quote that to this day. Not even because of the band. Because
owning a comic. Absolutely. And then I was like, oh, shit. Like, that's so sick. Lost Boys has the best portrayal of a comic book store employee in any movie whatsoever. The Frog Brothers,
yeah,
they're so cool. I think about that, you know, every time I unlock the store I own. I'm like, I'm Edgar Frog today. I was like, so sick. That store is a real place, and we got to at something we were with other comic book store employees. We met the guy who owns it, and unfortunately it's not in the same location, but he would just talk about all the Lost Boys memorabilia that is just like you can see in the store that he got just from being like, yeah, you can use my shop.
Hell yeah. No, that's the thing, is like you said, even if he moved it, since it was his shop, it, if it looks the same, people could still get like their photo ops and all that stuff. So that's pretty cool. Hell yeah. But of course, and then we spoke about, you know, I brought up Malignant, you know, just which is a more recent film. Do you have any more recent films that you really enjoyed? They don't have to be favorites, but, you know, just anything in the past decade that you really, you know, really pulled you in and that you kind of returned to more than others?
I almost hate, I feel like it's brought up to death, but The Witch is such a great movie.
Yeah.
I think about The Witch a lot. I think a lot of people do. Going back, it's like what I said about Texas Chainsaw, it does feel like you are a bystander in something that you're not supposed to be witnessing.
Yeah.
I was late to Hereditary, like super late. And it wasn't until after Midsommar that I watched Hereditary, but I absolutely adore Hereditary. I know there's things that I'm forgetting. Shudder has had so many great, like, straight to streaming releases.
Yeah.
But I love the Mortuary collection. It's become like a constant watch.
Oh yeah.
And then it wasn't until this year that I saw Hell House LLC.
Yeah.
I think because it was a found footage movie, I'd written it off. And then Alex, who he's a t-shirt guy, he does Razors in the Night. He did his Hell House shirt, and it got into conversation with some people I know. And I'm like, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
And it was this past fall that I watched it, and I was like, it is like a triumph in found footage horror.
Yeah.
Because when you get used to like the, I know how found footage works. I know where the scares are. I know where the, you know, they've got some like similar vibe, but it completely tears all that out and builds something new because it's in a haunted house. Your nerves are like ramped up to 11, like from the start.
Yeah. And there's some hidden gems out there that have done the mockumentary style very well, but this is the first one that does the mockumentary style and like still gets scary. Cause like one a lot of people call out is like Lake Mungo is one that a lot of people like from back in the day. And I watched it and I was kind of underwhelmed, but I think it was just cause of years of hype. But, and I love found footage films, but with Lake Mungo is one of those things where it was just creepy. There was nothing actually scary, where Hell House does a good job of like being a mockumentary, but still showing you shit that's like truly terrifying. Like when he turns the corner and the clown's just there and he goes back and talks to his friends and he's like, wait, like you weren't in there as dressed as the clown, like all that type of shit. And then like the dude just waking up in the middle of the night and filming himself and the girl's like standing in the shadow. I'm like, that's the type of shit that scares me, is waking up and somebody being there that's not supposed to be there.
It's like, absolutely.
But no, have you seen the prequel?
I have not. So that's the only one I've seen, and I want to watch the rest of them.
Yeah.
I just, for whatever reason, have not done it. And I need to get to the rest of them. I've heard they're all of varying quality.
Yeah. Two and three are kind of, I feel like, slowly get worse. Like two's definitely nowhere near one. And then three, I feel like, is really bad in my opinion. But they're worth watching just to get some of the story, but the prequel, you don't even really need to watch, you know, Carmichael Origins or whatever, Carmichael Manor. You don't even need to watch like 2 and 3. You don't even need to watch the first one really to see that one. But I think it's just as good, if not close to better than the first one, because it's got some good scares in it too. And it takes place in a mansion, so it's not the same place. It's not the hotel anymore.
Okay, cool. I will. It's been on the list. I'll ramp it up some.
Yeah, definitely skip 2 and 3.
There's definitely stuff that I'm forgetting, and I'm just completely blanking on some things. I don't know. I'm like eagerly anticipating Late Night with the Devil.
Oh yeah,
next month. I can't wait. A lot of my recent horror content comes from comics, and so I read so much that I'll get behind on like movies that I need to watch. And that's what I'm trying to rectify that a bit this coming year.
Hell yeah. I know exactly what you mean. That's the one thing is, that's why I try to keep up with the horror movies is doing this podcast. That way, if anybody brings anything up, I can talk about it. But
absolutely.
But because of that, I get behind. I'm just a cinephile in general. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but my hat's a Three Ninjas hat. It's not even horror. It's just, I love Three Ninjas. So, I know that's not like cinematic gold, but you know, it's just something I grew up on. So like, I just respect all cinema. You know what I mean? So like, there's so many movies from last year that I still want to, like, I still want to see Oppenheimer. I still want to see Barbie. You know, I just, because I'm always like, whenever I have time, I watch horror, you know, like just same thing with you. It's like, when you have time, you read a comic or you're writing music. So it's very hard to find that time to like fit in those other things, especially even if you love them, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But no, hell yeah. And then we can jump into the hypothetical questions that I kind of do at the back third of the show. And then, of course, if you just think of any movies that you want to shout out, feel free. But there's also opportunities with these questions to shout out movies as well. So
sure, of course.
The first hypothetical question is, if somebody approached you and wanted to make a music video for you and the guys in Blood Ritual, and they wanted it to be, you know, kind of a remake of one of your favorite horror movies just done into a music video, what movie would you choose, and how would you turn it, you know, into a video featuring you and the guys? And take your time, because I'll edit it down if, you know, you want to think on it.
Sure. I think I know, because I've thought about it a lot. It is, I want to be at Texas Battleland and Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Have scenes like, with the like the outside surface where it's like the actual amusement park that they used, or like in the weird catacombs where they just have like all of the string lights and like just dumb props and like bodies. I don't know, not everyone in Blood Ritual would be down with that, but I would love that. That would be awesome. It has that, like, we've kind of used this like almost a little bit like almost like a cowboy gimmick to an extent, where we're all from the South and we kind of like are at that point in our lives where I'm like, yeah, I got like a little bit of Southern pride. So we, you know, like Josh wears cowboy boots when we play, and his favorite bands are like Great White. And I'm like, yeah, we can kind of like bleed some of that into. So I think like Texas Battleland, and have someone stand in as the Dennis Hopper character.
Fuck yeah. No, I definitely dual
wielding chainsaws.
You should get Danny DeVito to do it just to make it funny as fuck. But no, I love, I'm with you. Like, there's some of those bands I listen to all the time, and I'm like, this would be heavy as fuck, you know, just, you know, speed it up a little bit and scream. Like, Thin Lizzy is one of my favorite bands, and I'm like, I think they would be great to just like cover them with like a little bit more heaviness to it. You know what I mean? Just do like a whole Thin Lizzy cover album, pretty much, but call it Fat Lizzy or some shit. But
there's like a late 80s band, thrash band called Gothic Slam, and they did a cover of Thunder and Lightning by Thin Lizzy, and it is like that. It's like, you're like, oh, that's already kind of like a metal track, and then they just like boost that song, and it's so cool.
Yeah, but now I hear it like all the time and stuff, like just listening to old, like listening to the Shocker soundtrack with like Dudes of Wrath, fucking that type of shit. Like, I listen to that and I'm like, this could be heavy as fuck. So I definitely see what you mean. Like, that 80s stuff could definitely be brought in, especially like crossover, like more thrashy metal stuff like you guys are doing. So
sure.
But, hell yeah. But, and then the second of my hypothetical questions is, if you could score a horror movie, you know, and of course it could be you by yourself or you with the rest of the guys in the band, what kind of horror movie would you like to choose? And, you know, like, what subgenre would you like to choose? You know, like a zombie flick, a slasher flick, you know, it could even be sci-fi. And it doesn't have to be like metal style. You guys can score it however you, you know, feel. If you like Goblin, you know, something like that. So.
Man, so we've... I don't like talking about things that I'm writing to an extent, because I'm always scared like someone will listen and be like, my idea.
Yeah.
But I have a like an 80s werewolf story that has been pieced together over a number of years that I've been working on. And it has those like, late 80s, like Sunset Strip vibe in it. And I think I would like a creature feature, but it has to, you have to be able to pull elements from like hard rock or heavy metal. So werewolves are my thing. So I would say it has to be some sort of creature feature, but the right sort of tone and identity to it.
Hell yeah. Now, kind of like not even saying as like because this one's a little bit more of a straight like horror comedy, but like Wolf Cop, how that's got like the 80s tone to it, and like they're able to
Yeah.
like still put like the synth wave type shit stuff. Hell yeah.
Basically.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that'd be super fun. That's like I meant to mention when you said you had an idea for Monster Squad 2. I've always wanted them to do it to where it's like the fifth, like the Invisible Man came as well, and we just never saw him. And then so he's been around this whole time, and finally he starts like he finds the amulet and brings him back. And like you that's
That's
what
so good. Don't tell me that.
steal it, man, because I'm not a
I'll
writer.
credit you.
Yeah, I was
I'll
gonna say,
credit you.
give me
That's
a story
so
by
good.
it. But no, that's
He was there. He was there the whole time. That's so good.
right. And then of course, like it sucks that the guy that played Horace, passed away and stuff, but they could easily just because of ages and stuff, they would age they've aged anyways, they could always just say, he passed away, in
Yeah.
the meantime. But no, hell yeah. So pretty much and that's a awesome answer, because like that's the type of stuff that doesn't really get the answer a lot of times is creature features, you know what I mean? Is and I love creature features, especially when they're done like that, kind of like a period piece, or more of like I really enjoyed Werewolves Within is a recent like a werewolf movie I enjoyed. It was like kind of a whodunit as well.
It was a ton of fun. I loved it.
Yeah, hell yeah. And of course it had like the fun aspect like that 80s films had that was super fun, so everybody was a character for sure. But hell yeah. And then of course my final question I like to ask all my guests is do you have a horror story of your own? And it can be from a show gone wrong to just something that was scary shit that happened in your personal life. And if you believe in the paranormal, you could share that as well.
I've got two. I do definitely believe in the paranormal. I've never seen anything. I've seen a UFO, but I do believe in the paranormal. I want to see it so badly that I'll never, they're not
Right.
going to choose me. Two stories. One, this was like an early band. You go out and you practice somewhere, and it's always somewhere like weird. And we were driving home, just everyone in my car, and we turn a corner, and there's a kid. I say kid, he might have been like 18, 19, sprinting down the road. Completely naked. I mean,
Oh, shit.
like full speed sprinting. Yeah, and he had in his hands a bunch of VHS tapes. And I was like, we have to turn around because what I just saw was like the craziest thing. And we turn around and pull up, and we're like keeping pace with him. And my friend in the passenger seat like rolls down his window. He's like, hey man, do you need help? And he turns and looks at us, and he has like, I mean, he has like a 1,000 mile stare. I mean, he's got nothing, says nothing. And then we turn again, and then cops have shown up, and he has just like sprinted into the woods. And I have no idea what happened, but it was just so weird. The second one is kind of funny, where after band practice, we're eating at Sheetz, and if no, any listeners don't know what Sheetz is, it's a gas station that's also a restaurant.
Yeah, pretty much like Wawa in the South. Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
And
Better
we're
than
just
Wawa,
like,
in my opinion, but.
it is better than Wawa. Everyone can suck it who likes Wawa.
Right. I'm so pissed because I live in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and we're getting a
Yeah.
Wawa. I'm like, fucking North Carolina's for Sheetz. Like, I used to get it every time we
That's.
play. I used to play in a hardcore band, well, metalcore band called Isolationist, and we used to play Greenville a lot. And,
Yeah.
like not a lot, but like every time we would go play, we would like always go to Sheetz. It was like fuck a real restaurant, or like we'd hit a restaurant before the show, but like after show, you always go to Sheetz or whatever. So I've always every time I
You
go into
always go
North
to
Carolina
Sheetz.
for anything, I'm like I gotta hit a Sheetz. But
It's yeah, it and we're sitting there and we're just like messing around, just being, dickheads at like 1 a.m. And there's a guy sitting at another table, and he's just like, it's kind of like shaking his head, and he's talking to himself. He's got headphones in, and I wasn't really paying attention, and someone else was trying to be like, look at that guy. That guy's like, he's about to do something weird. And he starts staring out the window, and he just goes, vampires. And I was like, did that guy just say vampires? And he throws his phone like across the table and like shoots out from his chair and like it skids across the floor. And he stands up and he goes, shit, shit. And I was like, I think we should leave. And we get out of our booth and we're like heading out, and he's got like a big overcoat on, and he walks up to us as we're trying to leave, and he puts his hand in his overcoat, and he just like, and I was like, yeah, we gotta go. And he pulls out a cigarette, puts it in his mouth, and lights it inside the sheet.
What the fuck?
And so the only assumption I have is that he could see things that I can't see, and he saw vampires.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
He
lives in a world where, yeah, he thought we were the Lost Boys or something, because we're just like punk kids. Like, he was like, those are vampires. I've seen two vampire movies and that's what they look like.
Right.
So though I have no, I'm like desperate. I like have messed with Ouija boards, you know. One of our comic book store locations is, people say it's haunted. I have not seen anything. And I hear stories and I'm just like, please let it happen to me. But I think that the forces that control the paranormal know I want it too badly and won't let me have it.
Right. That's same here. I've never witnessed anything, but I'm skeptical, but I like want to believe. So I like want to see something. And I'm like, you think they'd show it to me to make me believe her, but nope, never seen it. So. But no, both your stories are great too. They're stories that would sit with me as well. Like, I would often think about both of them. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck was that guy doing with tapes? And then, of course, like, what the hell was the vampire thing about? You know what I mean? So
I think about him every once in a while, and then just like vampire. I hope he's okay, man. I hope he might have been traveling. You know, just traveling. rogue monster hunter.
He was like talking about what he was. That's what he was hunting down. Yeah, he was just sitting there waiting for his next kill, I guess. Have you seen a Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter?
I have. I'm on the fence about it. Parts of it I love, but it's one of those Adult Swim things where you're like, all right, we've done the like absurdity. Like, you got to reel me back in somehow. But the first couple episodes, like, hilarious.
Yeah, I love it, but that's just because I got to the good thing is it's only like 15-minute episodes, so it helps my small memory or whatever they call it. But short-term memory, that's right. But I couldn't even remember what to say. That's just in my memory. But no, man, I appreciate you for coming on the show. You shouted out the comics that you were writing at the beginning, and of course, Blood Ritual. But do you want to shout out your shop as well as you mentioned having a podcast? You want to shout that out as well?
Yeah. So I co-own Acme Comics in Greensboro, North Carolina. We have two locations. We just opened up a location in downtown Greensboro that actually has a fully functional video store inside. We have, it's decorated like it. We sell VHS tapes. We sell Vinegar Syndrome stuff. We sell like VHS Shit Fest, all of those like boutique Blu-ray releases and steelbooks. We have those. And it's just cool to be able to sell VHS tapes and buy VHS tapes. Horror, that's horror right there. That's the backbone of what the experience is. We do a podcast every week. It's just the Acme Cast, and you can hear me have some crazy opinions.
is that on YouTube, or is that like on Spotify and Apple and all that stuff?
It's on Spotify and Apple, maybe YouTube one day. I don't know. I have mountains of work and don't want another thing.
Yeah, that's same here. I don't do YouTube. I wish I, you know, it's one of those things that I'm 200 and like, this would be probably episode 230, maybe even more by the time.
That's awesome.
So it's like, I'm up there in episodes. And at this point, I'm like, I wish I would have started it from the start doing the YouTube thing. But at this point, I don't really know if I want to even try to make that a new endeavor, because it's hard enough to get these audio episodes out, let alone try to do a visual one too. So
absolutely.
But hell yeah, man, I appreciate you for coming on the show, and I'm stoked to hear Do You Believe? And of course, if you're listening to this, it's already out, so go check out Do You Believe by Blood Ritual.
Thank you so much, man. You have a good one.
And as usual, I just want to say thanks again for listening, and make sure you check back next week, as I'll be joined by both Ian and John of the band Mean Jesus. Now, I know at the beginning of the episode, I mentioned going to see Ben and Mikey play up in Norfolk. Unfortunately, I was unable to make the show just due to work, but definitely hoping to catch those guys next time they come through for sure. And Private Hell plays Richmond all the time, so I'll definitely be up there for that sooner than later, but with all that being said, make sure you go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so the free way by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you'd like to sign up for the Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. Don't forget that we'll also be at Keegan's Irish Pub for Horror Movie Trivia Night on April 17th. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and stay safe.